B-Pod Studios.
You know, how many times was Greg Norman's heart broken on a golf course and he bounced right back up? And it's been the same thing with Lexi. For somebody who's only 26 years old, she's won 11 times at a major championship, but it feels like she's underachieved.
Stay with us and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of Neogenics Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. And now, here's your host, a man who reminds you to never play golf with anybody who would question a seven, Charlie Nance.
Hey there, once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise, where you can get prior generation Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza Pineville. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at CLT underscore golf guy. And I've got to give the devil its due, and in this case, for the first time in years, the USGA got it right. The U.S. Open absolutely delivered for me in all ways. We'll discuss everything Torrey Pines with Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, and Ron Cyrak of ronsyrak.com and the Golf Channel. Plus, on the 26th, X Golf South Charlotte has its grand opening in TGK, and we'll revisit a conversation we had earlier this month with General Manager Andrew Horn. First up, though, Ron Green Jr. Well, Ron, let's start with, I got to start with the course. I heard so much criticism, open and somewhat tongue-in-cheek, about Torrey Pines heading into this championship, about how it wasn't a championship venue and wasn't worthy of holding a USGA event. And I now say you have to be very, very quiet with your opinion on that, because on Sunday, on the back nine, the top five players in the world were battling within two shots of the lead. What else do you want from a course at a U.S. Open, right?
Yeah, I think it was sort of treated by the architecture aficionados as sort of golf's version of a rescue dog. And it didn't have all the proper bloodlines and all that. But I'd say it's gone two for two with U.S. Open, with Tiger's win back in 2008 and then this past one. I mean, it was, as an architectural study, I know there are things that could make it better or problems it might have, if only because of where it's perched on the cliffs and, you know, going out in those little fingers of land between the canyons, which I learned while I was out there, are filled with rattlesnakes this time of year. But, I don't know what else you could ask. I mean, the U.S. Open is not necessarily built for entertainment purposes, but it was pretty darn entertaining. And I think it just, it gave you options with some par fives. I mean, the 18th hole, which is, as terms of golf aesthetics, it's bordered on one side by hospitals, hotels, and research labs. And it's just, and got the most artificial pond you've ever seen right in front of the green there. But, it provides some good finishes. And to hear the players talk about it, hear Brooks Koepka talk about how much he liked it, Paul Casey is saying it was brilliant and they deserve praise for it, and others, had to make them feel good. I mean, for the blue bloods, the people who really like the great architectures, I mean, we've got, the Country Club, L.A. Country Club, Pinehurst coming up, Shinnecock back on the rotation. So I don't know if we'll see another one at Torrey Pines, but it gave us another good one.
We'll get back to Torrey Pines in a second, but you brought up something. The rattlesnake situation at Torrey Pines, having grown up in Texas and knowing rattlesnakes all too well, I don't know if you were near a TV on Sunday when JT dumped one in a ravine and they pointed out why he was not going down in it to hit the ball. They showed something that looked like it was CGI from Jurassic Park. I have never seen a rattlesnake rattle that thick and that tall standing straight up in the air as something was slithering away. There was not enough made about that prehistoric creature that's lurking at Torrey Pines. That was dangerous.
I heard about it. I didn't see that I was out there, but I was standing behind Saturday. I was standing behind the first green, nice, benign place, grassy, well away from any of the cliffs or any of that. And right in front of one of those little towers that has the green tarp wrapped around it for the shot link stuff and all that. I was sitting there talking to a marshal and a photographer, and Marshall says, Hope we don't have any snakes today. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, a rattler just came right up beside us yesterday, right here in front of the laser tower, and went on inside and wrapped itself around a pole. And I'm like, So, yeah.
I'm out on that. Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post, our guest taking dead aim. The relentlessness of Torrey Pines is what struck me. On just about every golf course in the world, even a U.S. Open setup, there's a chance for you to exhale once on the back nine. And that was just not the case. Those guys were tested, it seemed, each and every shot. And you could just see as the day went on Sunday, as we got, you know, into the last 9-10 holes of the golf tournament, that the previous 60-62 holes were starting to take their toll. It just pointed out to me what the U.S. Open is all about. It's such a grind. And for someone to still be standing at the end of all of it is just amazing to me, because Torrey Pines was just relentless.
Yeah, I mean, you normally think of the par fives as the holes you can sort of have a chance on. And granted, 18 surrendered plenty of birdies, but, you know, Brooks Koepka can tell you how quickly you can make a bogey there. 13, Rory hit those beautiful two shots in there after he'd made a mess of the 12th hole. But other guys, I mean, Bryson DeChambeau hits it up against an abandoned carton of beer bottles or whatever. And, you know, there was just the edges. If you got on the wrong side, the penalty could be quick and severe. And, you know, the 14th hole's a par four that kind of, I don't know if you call it a let-up hole, but one of the easier holes on that side. And 17, if you don't hit it in the canyon like Louis did, you at least to think you could, you know, be aggressive enough to try to make a birdie. But, I mean, that's what U.S. Opens are. They aren't built to give you a lot of birdie chances, and they're built to just reward good, solid, steady play and keeping it between the margins. And, you know, and then we get John Rahm making back-to-back birdies to finish it off. I mean, that was like the grand finale on 4th of July night.
Yeah, there was no question that he won it. Thank you for bringing up Bryson DeChambeau, though. I expect to see the Russell Henleys of the world fold like a cheap suit under the pressure of the U.S. Open. I do. I do not expect the defending champion to be standing on the 13th tee at -5 with a one-shot lead, and from that point in, go +8 on his last seven holes. What are we doing here?
Well, he, you know, asked afterwards. He said, somebody said, you know, how did you get off the rails there? And he immediately said, well, I didn't get off the rails. No, nothing derailed me. It's just, you know, got a couple bad breaks. You know, I was playing, you know, golf and just got some bad bounces. And winning this whole thing, people don't understand. According to Bryson, major championship, winning those is about 50% of it is luck, which, as I've said, I don't think that's the equation Tiger and Jack used.
No. But
I don't think the game plan, including hitting a 740 yards right of the par 3 11th green into the thick stuff, and then making a total hash of 13. Now, granted, his foot slipped a couple times, but he just, you could tell it rattled him, and he got very defensive. And finally, somebody said, how do you process this? He goes, I'm already over it. I've won this tournament before, and brushed it off and left. And was like, I don't think that's the best way to handle it. Might need to take you about 12 hours and rethink all this. But, yeah, it was, you know, when you play the way he plays and it's calculated and hitting it that far and trying to, you know, hit it longer than everybody else, although he has more than met his match in Wilco Nienaber, that, you know, it comes with the territory. If you keep flirting with that rough, especially the way it was out there, you're going to pay the penalty, and he did. And what worked, and he was able to overcome at Wingfoot, he couldn't overcome at Torrey Pines, even though he talked like a guy who was convinced he was never quite fully dialed in anyway.
The game also can be about inches and a little bit about luck. I think about Rory McIlroy, who got one of the worst breaks I've ever seen a big-time player get. And now, granted, he hit a horrid shot, but for it to plug in that top lip of a greenside bunker was just one of the – you just don't see great players get awful breaks like that. I mean, it was like the gods had it in for him.
Yeah, that was – I mean, we've all played enough golf that you get one like that every once in a while, you're like, well, there's nothing I can do about it. And you see, there's nothing they can do about it either, except sort of shank it into the other part of the bunker. That was – I think – and he said something after the round. He said he was just sort of blindsided by the three putt on 11 where he's putting for birdie, and he's just missed great chances at 7 and 9 that could have, you know, really changed the course of the day. And then suddenly 11 just sort of banged him, and then he misses the tee shot on 12, and it all unspools from there. That was, but, you know, you saw some funky things like that. You saw Mackenzie Hughes' ball hitting, going through the tree once, hitting the car path, going back up in it. And then, I mean, you see Colin Morikawa, who hits it as pure as anybody in the world, suddenly blading shots and just, oh, my gosh, it's U.S. Open stuff happens.
Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post, our guest taking dead aim. You mentioned earlier Brooks Koepka. I've given up trying to figure this guy out. I'll just say this. To me, he's the best major championship golfer we've had since Tiger Woods. I'm going to give him a pass on this last Masters because he was, 20 days out from knee surgery? I'm going to give him a pass on that. But it just seems in every major championship in the last 3 or 4 years, you get to the weekend and your eyeballs don't have to scan too far down the leaderboard to see him there. And once again, he was a huge factor who, you know, if his putt drops on 17 and his putt looked as good as Rahm's did on 17, if his putt drops, you know, who knows? He has a chance to maybe tie and win the U.S. Open again. He's always there, Ron.
I think I have it right that since in the last 4 U.S. Opens, he's been beaten by exactly 4 players. And now, granted, he didn't play in one of them, but right. He was beaten by Gary Woodland, then he was beaten by 3 guys this time. He's right there. And, yeah, I mean, if the putt drops on 17, maybe 18 plays out differently. But I think he already sort of knew on 18, all right, I can't get to the number I need to get to. But, yeah, I mean, he is just built for major championships, and he's so bullish about what he does. And by bullish, I mean confident and convinced that he's going about it the right way. And he doesn't get seemingly phased when he, you know, makes the inevitable bogey or whatever. And he just keeps going and keeps going. I mean, he's like the guy who gets on the exercise machines and can just never stop. I mean, that's sort of the way he plays majors.
As much as we've talked about the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, the Rorys, the Brookses, the DeChambeaus, you cannot take away the fact that there have now been 4 people who have birdied 17 and 18 to win the U.S. Open. Hogan, Nicholas, Watson, and now John Rahm. And by virtue of what John Rahm did, no one gave him the Open. No one collapsed. Oosthuizen didn't collapse to give him the Open. John Rahm went out and won the U.S. Open, and that's how it will be remembered, correct?
I think so, yeah. And I think there was, maybe it was just me, but I don't think it was just me. There was a sense sort of throughout the week that John Rahm was the guy. John Rahm was the guy. We all knew what happened at Memorial 2 weeks earlier and all that. But given the way he's played at Torrey Pines, the love he has for the area, I mean, he says he and his wife come over about once a month from Scottsdale to spend time there. He's a member of a club there. He proposed to her on the walking trails nearby. And there was a sort of a karma thing going on. And he was always there. And you sort of knew, felt like he hadn't played his really, really good round until they got to Sunday. And he just kept hanging. And then when it came time for somebody to go win the tournament, he did. I mean, and we've talked about it before. I mean, he looks built for major championships. And I know he seemed to be in a better place. And everybody wants to talk about his temper. And it's natural to do that because it's right there on display so often. And he's talked about he's better at it. And I do think he's better at it. Adam Hayes, his caddy, talked some about that and said, you know, we've had talks, and, you know, sometimes I just have to step back and let it happen, and it looks like a train wreck. But I told him, I said, you don't want your son growing up looking at some of this, and you're going to be embarrassed by how you're acting sometimes. And Rahm has talked about it. Now, you don't just flip that switch off, and part of what that whatever you want to call it, fire, is, I mean, it's what makes John Rahm who he is. But I think, you know, I mean, Tiger forever showed those flashes, you know, suddenly just the frustration we see from Justin Thomas and others. Any of us who play the game knows there are going to be moments when all you want to do is find something to bang your golf club against that's not the golf ball. And whether it's the ground, the cart, I can confess I have had many drivers in my life where the sole plate had a lot of cart path scars on it. John Rahm finding that balance, I think, as he's getting older, I mean, he's only 26 or whatever. I think it'll always be part of him, but I think finding the way to make it a positive part of him is maybe it's gotten a little easier for him.
Get you out of here on this. Speaking of that life balance, does John Rahm strike you as the kind of guy who, now that he's broken through, he's lived up to the expectation that everyone had that he was going to win a major championship, that if he doesn't win another major championship, he's going to be okay with that? Or does he strike you as the kind of guy that this may open up the floodgates, that this is going to serve as an impetus to spur him on to try to win that second, third, fourth, and fifth? How committed to the game versus committed to life do you think John Rahm is?
I think he's pretty committed to it. I'm sure we've asked other questions about guys winning their first major, when Jordan did it, when Justin Thomas did it, and others. It's hard to win any of them. So you got one now winning the second one. You know, there's no guarantee that happens. But I mean, it feels like he's just getting started. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go win 10 majors, but I think he's a guy who's he's going to be in it for a long time. I think 10 years from now, we're probably still talking about John Rahm when major championships come around. I'd be surprised if we were.
From the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, that's our perennial PGA Tour boots on the ground, Ron Green Jr. And when we return, Ron Cyrak of RonCyrak.com and the Golf Channel takes dead aim with his thoughts on John Rahm's big win at the U.S. Open, previewing the ladies' major this week, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, and more, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies. And we've reached the Greater Golf Express halfway house on the show this week. Visit the Golfer's Paradise to get prior generation tailor-made TP5 and TP5X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza Pineville. There's a reason Greater Golf Express is called the Golfer's Paradise. They constantly beat the box stores on every level, like the Cleveland CBX2 Steel Wedge for $139.99 or the Cleveland RTX Zip Core Steel Wedge for $149.99. Need a new set of irons? Get the Tour Edge Hot Launch 4 irons. 4-through pitching wedge, sale priced at $399.99, right hand only. And due to huge response, Greater Golf Express is continuing its ball abrasion sale. Get Titleist prior generation Pro V1 and Pro V1X golf balls for only $39.99 a dozen, or prior generation TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. Hurry, supplies are going faster than a downhill putt. Drop by the store in Pineville or log on greatergolfexpress.com. And don't forget, Greater Golf Express will give you a better club fitting for less. They have 9 fitting carts for all the major manufacturers. Lower your scores, get fitted. You need it? The Golfer's Paradise. Greater Golf Express has it. Located in Pineville next to Home Depot or greatergolfexpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We are Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies and Greater Golf Express, the Golfer's Paradise. Joined now by Ron Cyrak of RonCyrak.com and the Golf Channel. All right. Thanks for doing this. I always sit there. I was sitting here in front. I always do these interviews with sticky notes in front of me. Whenever I'm talking to you, I've got like 4 or 5 because there's so many different topics I want to cover. Ron, let's start with what we witnessed last weekend. I got to tell you, for the first time in a long time, the U.S. Open 100% delivered for me. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought they really got it right in a lot of ways in the course setup. And the players did their part. You know, it was you don't see a birdie finish to win the U.S. Open happen very often. And we saw the way the course was set up, we saw the good and the bad. We saw that a 67 was possible on an extremely difficult setup if you hit – if you hit good shots. You saw a 44 on the back nine was possible if you hit bad shots. I thought they got it right by every measuring stick.
Yeah, everyone who has a criticism of Torrey Pines as a U.S. Open venue needs to go ahead and just close their mouth and tuck their tail and go home. When you have a golf course that delivers the top 5 players in the world on Sunday within 2 shots of the lead on the back nine, then you have done your job as a golf course. And further, It just seemed like that course was relentless. Even the two par, you know, you had the par 5 ninth, which was tough. The par 5 13th was tough. The only easy hole to me on the back nine was the par 5 18th, and guys were still struggling with that on Sunday. I just thought that it was beautiful, it was relentless, and it just challenged every single facet of those guys' games, and that's all you can ask for in a U.S. Open venue.
Yeah, I mean, every hole was difficult if you missed the fairway, you know, and that was, and I love that. I love that they created a golf course to put a premium on accuracy, on driving the ball in the fairway. It's true that Torrey Pines doesn't have any truly memorable holes like a lot of golf courses do. You'd be hard-pressed to figure out what's the signature hole at Torrey Pines, but overall, it is just a solid, solid test of golf, and you touched on it exactly, which is the ultimate vindication, the ultimate validation of any golf course is the leaderboard it produces. And this tournament produced a really good leaderboard.
What do we make of Louis Oosthuizen? I always get the feeling that he's just such an affable guy that seems sort of like he doesn't care all the time as much about golf as we wish he would. Because you look at that swing, you look at the fact that he's now a six-time runner-up major champion. He's got that one win where he totally ran away with it at St. Andrews. But you just think, this guy is, he's better than this. And you look at two times this year that he had a chance to close the deal, the team competition in New Orleans and then last week at Torrey Pines, and a guy who fades the golf ball, pulling it left into trouble, that just can't happen, especially at Torrey Pines where right of 17, you've got all of planet Earth to the right of 17.
Yeah, in fact, a lot of players were playing 17 that way. They were missing it intentionally into the right rough because there was rough over there. If you got far enough right, it was well trampled down, and you could get a pretty decent lie going in. I found myself, as they were going down the stretch, I wanted both Rahm and Oosthuizen to win. You know, I thought there was compelling reasons for both of them to come away. And again, I'm glad it was a tournament that was won by what John Rahm did over the last couple of holes, two just really, really stout putts, not very easy putts that he made for birdies. And so it wasn't a tournament that was handed away as much as it was a tournament that somebody stepped up and won. But you do got to love, Louis. I was there at St. Andrews when, what was that, 11 years ago now that he did the job there. And he is, it's tempo to die for, just a gorgeous, gorgeous golf swing. And he will be remembered for a lot of runner-up finishes, and I know it bothers him that he's never won in the United States.
Because of the way Rahm finished, no one can say that Louis collapsed or that right. DeChambeau collapsed. I mean, bottom line, when you add your name to a list that includes the following, Ben Hogan at Oak Hill, Nicholas at Baltus Roll, and Watson at Pebble, and you, that's it. That's the list of people who birdie the last two holes to win the U.S. Open. When you do that, you win the Open, and it doesn't matter what anybody else does, correct?
Yeah, you know, the person who probably surprised me the most on the back nine for giving strokes back was Koepka. But if you look at it, Rahm still beats him, you know, because he probably doesn't get to six under par because – those last two birdies really, really validated the victory for Rahm. But there were, and that's what major championships test. And we saw it with DeChambeau. It's not just the physical mistakes you make out there. It's the mental mistakes you make after a physical mistake. And that's what did him in. You know, he let mistakes compound mistakes. And that's what you fight against in a major championship, particularly a U.S. Open.
You brought up Brooks Koepka. Thank you for doing that. I think he's a marvel. I really do. If you take out this year's Masters, where he was only 2 or 3 weeks removed from knee surgery, so I'm going to give him a pass on that. It just seems like every major championship, this guy is in the mix, especially domestic major championships. And you can, to me, you can just pencil him in Saturday and Sunday. He's going to be in the top 10 and he's going to be a factor. And if he has, you know, he missed the putt on 17 that Rahm made. Right. And it looked to me on television like it was dead center. I mean, it was just one of those things. If he makes that putt, he's in position to eagle the 18th and cause a ruckus. I think he's as good a major championship golfer as we've seen, I guess, since Tiger in terms of consistency and always being there.
Well, he reminds me, Koepka reminds me a little bit of Payne Stewart, who always played his best golf in the major championships. It was like the focus that he couldn't bring to regular tour events, he brought to the majors and saved his best golfer there. And Koepka, instead of being criticized for letting it get away from him on the back nine at Torrey Pines, he should be praised for the fact that once again he was on the leaderboard on Sunday with a chance to win.
Ron Cyrak of RonCyrak.com is our guest taking Dead Aim. Let's shift our focus to another major championship, this on the ladies' tour. And to me, I think in a very short period of time, the KPMG Women's PGA has become the gold standard for how a women's major championship is conducted, run, venue. I just think they have elevated their game so much that they've caused the other majors to rethink how they elevate their game as well.
Yeah, for the sixth consecutive year where this tournament's being held on a golf course that has previously held a men's major championship, and waiting in the wings coming up are Congressional and Baltusrol. So, yes, the PG, you know, when in 2014, when it was first announced that this was going to happen, the beginning in 2015, the LPGA championship was going to be known as the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. There were a lot of old-time LPGA players who were not happy that a tournament that was created in 1955, the flagship tournament of the LPGA Tour, was losing its identity to become the Women's PGA. I don't think you can find anybody right now who thinks it was a bad idea. Prize money has doubled. The venues have improved enormously, and it gets national network TV exposure on the weekend. Everything about this has been a success.
Yeah, no, I, anybody who stands by that old opinion, I could not disagree more. Like I said, I think when you ask me what women's majors I think about more than anything else, I always think about, and I know I'm terrible about this, but it's always the Dinosaur to me. I'm old school that way, out in the Palm Springs, because that's really the first major of the year. It comes the week before the Masters. And then I think of this one now for the ladies, more than the U.S. Open, more than the Women's British Open. This is the one to me that I go, okay, this feels like a major. It conducts itself like a major. It makes a big deal out of the women's game. And I think right now the women's game needs to have a big deal made out of it.
One of the people who does not get the credit that he deserves is Kerry Hay, who sets up golf courses for the PGA of America. He's been doing it for about 30 years. I think maybe going back to Kemper Lakes in the late 80s when the PGA was there. But he does a really brilliant job, and he's figured out. And I'll say both the PGA of America and the USGA have figured out how to set courses up to test the women. And the whole key is, and this really started when there was the Twin Open, U.S. Opens at Pinehurst in 2014. The key is you want them to hit the proper clubs into the greens. The clubs, the greens were built to receive, and so they've done, and Kerry Hay does this brilliantly, he sets the golf course up backwards. So he figures out, okay, I want them to hit a 7-iron into number 2. Where do I need to put the tee box so that the majority of the field's hitting a 7-iron in? And so they've created a really, really, really good tests of golf. And all you got to do is look at the winners list that this tournament's produced over the years. And again, the leaderboard justifies the event. The first one of these events was won by NB Park. And last year, Se-young Kim won, and she probably, at the time, was the best player in women's golf without a major championship with 10 victories.
The course, as it's listed on the card, they're not going to play this, of course, from the tips where the guys would play it, is around 7,600 yards. But I was trying to pick out where they might be playing it from. They could play it somewhere between 6,560 and 60, almost 6,900 yards. How long is this golf course going to play this week?
They're listing it on the scorecard as 6,740.
That's a big track for the ladies.
That's a big track, and you know, it may never play. You know, usually when they have that they move tees around, and usually that's the most it can play at. And there may not be a day when it ever plays to the full 67-40. It'll move short of that. They, particularly on par fives, they like to move tees so that some days you can get to a par five and two, some days you can't. So it'll move around, but that's the top number, and that's. And if you look at it, the Women's Open at Olympic Club played probably about 300 yards shorter.
We'll get to that Women's Open in a minute. Got a couple of pointed questions about that. Want to talk a minute still about Atlanta Athletic Club. You've already mentioned has a great pedigree. Jerry Pate won a U.S. Open there in 76, three PGA championships, Larry Nelson in 81, Toms in 01, and Keegan Bradley in 11. I had Brittany Altomare on the show a week or so ago talking about her experience at Olympic Club, and she recognizes the gravitas, if you will, how cool it is to be playing these storied golf major championship venues. Do the women regard Atlanta Athletic Club as one of those venues? Do they look at it as, this is definite progress, we are playing on a course that is recognizable to the world of golf?
Yeah, they do. They you know, when they get to play a golf course that a men's major has been played at, it does get their attention. And, you know, and the men's majors were played here not that long ago, two in this century, you know, and it does get their attention, and it does make them feel like their game is being taken more seriously than it had been. And if you look at it this year, women have a pretty stout lineup of major championship courses. I mean, after Mission Hills, which is the same course every year, they go to the Olympic Club, Atlanta Athletic Club, and then Carnoustie. With the Avion in between this tournament and Carnoustie. So that's of the tournaments that travel, Olympic Club, Atlanta Athletic, and Carnoustie. That's three pretty good traveling venues.
Is it because it's an Olympic year that the women's major comes, or the KPMG comes immediately after the men's U.S. Open? Because the one thing that I worry about in terms of the progress that the LPGA needs in terms of getting eyeballs on their product is golf fatigue coming off a men's major and then having another major immediately that next week.
Well, things are, I think they're still trying to find their footing on that. The USGA has made it clear the Women's U.S. Open is going to be 2 weeks before the Men's U.S. Open every year. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that it's in the same time every year, that first weekend in June. I think that KPMG, the Women's PGA, is probably going to be this week, probably more often than not. Then what they've got to do is separate Avion from the women's British. And they tried moving Avion to September. That didn't work. They found out middle of September is not a good time to play golf in the foothills of the French Alps.
No.
So they've moved it back to the last week of July. So then that means you've got to move the women's British towards the end of August to get some space in between. I think ideally what they'd like to do is have a four-tour stop in Europe. Go Avion, and then they already have the Scottish Open, maybe add something like the Swedish Open, and then have the British Open, and do a four-event swing through Europe the way they do four-event swings through Asia.
What is fan capacity going to be this weekend at Atlanta Athletic Club?
You know, they're talking 8,000, and that's, you know, that would be... That's probably about what they had at the Olympic Club for the U.S. Women's Open. Maybe not even that many there, but it still felt like there were fans there. It felt like you could get responses to good shots, and the energy did build up. You know, players could feed off the energy of the crowds.
Ron Cyrak of RonCyrak.com is our guest taking Dead Aim. Get you out of here on this. Looking back just a moment at the U.S. Women's Open at the Lake Course at Olympic, one of my favorite venues visually in all the world. I think it's one of the more scenically underrated California courses, to be honest with you. But I'm beginning to think that the Lake Course is cursed. Ben Hogan, Arnold Palmer, Tom Watson, Payne Stewart, Jim Furyk, these are all World Golf Hall of Fame guys who had something happen on the last round and wound up losing the U.S. Open. And then Lexi Thompson. The closest comparison is Arnold Palmer in, what, 66 there, who it was over with. I mean, I literally checked on it and said, I'm going to go away and come back. And when I came back, the wheels were off. And I shake my head. This, as hard as the major that she lost due to the marking incident and the over penalty, as hard as that was to shake off, Ron, this one has to be real tough to shake off. In fact, it's almost a good thing that a major came this soon and she can move forward, because I don't know if you overcome this.
You know, I the column that I wrote after it, I said, you know, the Olympic Club's never been kind to big names with big leads on the back nine on Sunday. Mm-mm. I listed those five people you just said, and I said, and Lexi Thompson is another one of the victims. She sent me a note a couple of days later. She said, thanks for taking the high road on my 41 on the back nine, because you know, I wasn't going to beat her up on it. Look, let me say this about Lexi. I put her right up there with Greg Norman as being among the most resilient golfers I've ever seen. You know, how many times was Greg Norman's heart broken on a golf course and he bounced right back up? And it's been the same thing with Lexi. For somebody who's only 26 years old, she's won 11 times in a major championship, but it feels like she's underachieved. She's always had a suspect short game, you know, and you look at the Olympic Club, she missed two greens from about 100 yards out.
Yeah.
And then couldn't make an up and down after missing the greens. And to win major championships, first off, you can't miss a green from 100 yards. Secondly, if you do, you got to be able to make an up and down. And but I expect her, I mean, I would not at all be surprised if she's on the leaderboard on Sunday in this tournament, because nothing seems to really slow her down. She takes a punch as well as anybody I've ever seen.
We know that some of the Asian stars are enormously huge celebrities in Korea and Japan. How big a star is Yuka Saso in the Philippines?
Well, she's massive, and she's got the best of both worlds. She's massive in both the Philippines and Japan, because her mother's Filipino, her father is Japanese. She plays. She's won two times on the Japan LPGA, so she's known there very well, and she's going to represent Philippines in the Olympic Games. I was talking to her this morning. She is a very impressive young woman. She just turned 20 on June 20th. And her mental and emotional maturity is as advanced as the maturity of her golf game. She's not only a good player, I think she's somebody who is going to be, and I've seen a lot of players win and win majors early and not be able to build on it. I think she's going to be one of those athletes who can build on success.
He is a past recipient of the PGA of America's Lifetime Achievement Award in Journalism. From RonCyrak.com and the Golf Channel, that's Ron Cyrak. And up next, we turn our attention to the grand opening on the 26th of X-Golf South Charlotte in TKK. General Manager Andrew Horn takes dead aim at what I believe to be a great concept for the enjoyment of the game. Presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies. First, though, one last stop at the Greater Golf Express Halfway House, where you can get prior generation Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza Pineville. There's a reason Greater Golf Express is called the golfer's paradise. They constantly beat the box stores on every level, like the Cleveland CBX2 Steel Wedge for $139.99 or the Cleveland RTX Zip Core Steel Wedge for $149.99. Need a new set of irons? Get the Tour Edge Hot Launch 4 irons. 4 through pitching wedge, sale priced at $399.99, right hand only. And due to huge response, Greater Golf Express is continuing its ball abrasion sale. Get Titleist prior generation Pro V1 and Pro V1X golf balls for only $39.99 a dozen, or prior generation TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. Hurry, supplies are going faster than a downhill putt. Drop by the store in Pineville or log on greatergolfexpress.com. And don't forget, Greater Golf Express will give you a better club fitting for less. They have 9 fitting carts for all the major manufacturers. Lower your scores, get fitted. You need it? The golfer's paradise. Greater Golf Express has it. Located in Pineville next to Home Depot or greatergolfexpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies and Crater Golf Express. I first met Andrew Horn when he was one of the pros at Cedarwood Country Club. He's now GM at a new concept in golf entertainment set to open on June 26th, X Golf South Charlotte. Well, I'm always excited when there's some new way to embrace the game. Andrew, tell me a little bit about X Golf. What if I was just coming off the street saying, okay, you're the general manager at X Golf, what the heck is that?
Yeah, so it's a new technology. We actually call ourselves the home of indoor golf. So it's a place you can come play in a relaxed environment, come hang out with your buddies. We've got five state-of-the-art simulators down here in TUK. You can play over 50 different golf courses around the world. We're actually going to have St. Andrews coming in August. But besides that, we've got PGA National, Pebble Beach, Bethpage, Harbortown, and then there's one in Japan called Kiwana Hotel, which has a lot of elevation change, and it's really fun. X Golf is also a place where you guys can come. We're going to have weekly leagues, similar to bowling. We're going to have 10 weeks where you can play three-on-three teams, match play, and the fun thing about X Golf is you're going to have your own X Golf handicap.
And another thing about X Golf that makes it great. Number one, again, did we mention it's indoors? And last time I checked, it's hotter than six hells outside. So yes. not only is it indoors and you're playing golf, but you're not having to wait on the cart girl to come around. There's food and beverages available. Yes?
Absolutely. We've got a full liquor bar, full bar. We're going to have 11 taps and also some great food. So pretty much full restaurant there as well. So you never have to wait on the cart girl to come around. You've got about 10 walks and 10 steps to the bar, and you're good to go.
Andrew, you come from a background of traditional golf, clubs, ranges, whatnot. Why do you think there's been such a rise in the popularity of things like X Golf and things like Top Golf that it kind of caught me off guard at how popular they are?
Yeah, I just think with the new technology, the way things are evolving, people are looking to go to restaurants. They're looking to go get some drinks, but also have that entertainment factor as well that you can't really get at the golf course. You've got a big social atmosphere where we can host corporate events and people who just love to play golf. The one cool thing as well with the new technology here at X Golf, whereas you don't get on the range, you're able to track your ball speed, club path, your angle of attack, your trajectory, and the velocity. And that only allows us to perfectly replicate the golf ball's flight laws and whatnot. So you can see your fade, your draw, your hook, your slice. Even if you top it, it's going to show that as well.
Andrew Horn is the general manager of X Golf South Charlotte, set to open on the 26th in TKK. He's our guest taking Dead Aim.
Yes, sir. June 26th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're going to have free one-hour sessions. You're able to sign up through our website at xgolfsouthcharlotte.com where you can reserve your one-hour time. We're going to have free food and free golf, and I'm going to be walking around giving some tips and lessons. And with that, we're also going to have a par three contest where you can have a chance to win a free membership for a month.
Let's get back to the practice thing for a second, because as much as I love all of the entertainment, and I do, and I love to sit there with my buddies and go play Pebble Beach and whatnot, and it's a blast, but there's a time when you're more serious about this game that's probably healthy to be serious about this game, that you want to really dive in and see what's going on. And with the equipment and the technology you have, let me see if I think I've seen it. You not only can, it's sort of a TrackMan setup where you get the spin rates and all of that, but you can also replicate conditions. You can program in to the computer, okay, we've got a 20-mile-an-hour wind, and it's 76 degrees or 86 degrees with humidity of this, this, and this, to really replicate different conditions on the golf course and to see how your ball flight will react under those conditions, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. We're able to change the weather if it's raining. When you guys play St. Andrews or if you're playing at Pebble Beach, it can be really windy. We can boost the winds for you. And during Masters Week, we're going to speed up those greens so you can get the real life, just like the players.
Do you, now, is this something where you will be able to speak to the public about doing things wisely, just as if they've had too much to drink, you've cut them off? If they have Pebble Beach set on 30 and 40 mile an hour winds, do you come over and say, gentlemen, I realize you're paying for this, but you don't want this?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we can change that. Absolutely. Yeah, we like I said before, we want to make it a fun, relaxed environment for those guys and everybody that wants to come in. But, hey, if you want to get the real-life Pebble Beach experience, we can make that happen for you.
Andrew Horn is the general manager of the all-new X Golf South Charlotte, set to open on the 26th in TUK. He's our guest taking dead aim. In terms of programs that you had, you just sort of yada-yadded over a membership program. Tell me how that works.
Yes, sir. So we're going to have a lessons membership program. You guys are able to pay $199 a month, which gives you two lessons with your PGA professional, myself, and then also 4 hours of practice simulator time. So whereas you get lessons out on the golf course and take that to the range, you're not sure what you're doing, well, with this solo practice time, you're able to see those stats. You're able to see your club path. You're able to see your ball speed, what we really talked about in the lessons. As for corporate memberships, we're going to have those as well. It's a flat fee of $3,600 a year. You name two people to your membership from your company. You can come in as much as you want Monday through Thursday before 4 p.m. and bring up to five guests at no charge. And then we're also going to have individual memberships as well. So those are going to be $200 a month there on the individual memberships. You can come in Monday through Thursday before 4, play as much as you want. And then on the weekends, you get 25% off on play as well and free club rentals.
If you think business gets done on the golf course normally, imagine what kind of business you can get done at X Golf in the air conditioning with food and a full liquor bar going on. I mean, how great is that?
It's awesome, yeah. 70 degrees all year round, no rain, perfect weather, 24/7.
Andrew, I don't know if this is something you're getting into right now or if perhaps you're considering it. Will there be down the line things like club fitting and those opportunities as well?
Absolutely. We're going to offer those club fittings. We've got a partnership with Callaway. I'm on staff with Callaway. We're going to have club fittings, club lessons, club repair, all of the above there with Callaway irons and drivers.
Anything special for juniors or not yet, or is that something down the line?
Juniors, that's in the talks right now. I am U.S. Kid certified, so I work with ages 4 and up on lessons. We're going to have some summer camps, hopefully July and August, coming here on the morning, Saturday mornings, weekday mornings. We're going to offer those as well for kids.
Yeah, you know what else? And I mean, who am I to tell you how to do your business? But having been someone who was the parent of a junior golfer and a high school golfer, and so much of the high school golf season, the weather sucks, especially when you get from like October through the end of February. It would be cool if you could organize some kind of high school league or something for those guys to come in and compete during the week at a time of day when it would be kind of slow for you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's kind of been the talks as well, being in the TUK area. We've spoken to a couple schools already. So hoping to get something for the off season to keep those junior players up to speed and getting them better as well.
So we're covering you as juniors, we're covering you with club fitting, we're covering you as individuals, we're covering you as business. Basically, if you love golf, if you love to hang out with friends and enjoy golf, and even if you just want to come out with the family and have a good night for a couple of hours or a good afternoon for a couple of hours on a rainy afternoon, you got them covered at X Golf.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And with the game formats, it makes it easy and relaxed as well. We've got for the families, you guys could come in on a Sunday afternoon and play a scramble event. If you're looking to play against your buddies for a little money, we've got skins. We've got a best ball format, stroke play, alternate shot, and then the weekly X leagues are going to be huge. So three-person teams, get your buddies together and come on out.
Now, Andrew, is this a thing where you can bring your own clubs? I know there will be some clubs provided, but you can bring your own clubs, or do you recommend you leave your clubs at home?
Yeah, absolutely. Recommend bringing your own clubs. We will have club rentals. Those are only $15 a piece. We'll have some Callaway sets and also some Strata sets as well. So if you don't have golf clubs, no worries. We'll be able to provide those for you. And we also have some junior sets as well for those juniors that are looking to get into the golf game.
All right, quick review. General Manager Andrew Horn, ex-Golf South Charlotte, set to open on the 26th in TGK, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, 1177 Stonecrest Boulevard in TGK.
And once again, let's give out the phone number, the website. How can they get in touch with you? How can they make reservations?
Yes, sir. To make reservations, all you have to do is go to xgolfsouthcharlotte.com. Our phone number is 803-547-GOLF. Which is 4653.
X-Golf South Charlotte opens on June 26th in TGK. That's General Manager Andrew Horn. I'd also like to thank Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer and Ron Syrak of ronsyrak.com and the Golf Channel for their time and insight this week concerning last week's United States Open. A reminder, follow us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Give us a like. Posted there now links to articles on the latest goings-on in and around the world of golf. Hey, weather-wise, look, you may have to dodge a stray shower or two, but for the most part, really good weather this weekend in the QC for letting this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart. And if you do put a peg in the ground, remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep it in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter at @CLT_golfguy, and I'll see you right here next week, Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise, where you can get prior generation Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. There's a reason Greater Golf Express is called the golfer's paradise. They constantly beat the box stores on every level, like the Cleveland CBX2 Steel Wedge for $139.99 or the Cleveland RTX Zip Core Steel Wedge for $149.99. Need a new set of irons? Get the Tour Edge Hot Launch 4 irons. 4-through pitching wedge, sale priced at $399.99, right hand only. And due to huge response, Greater Golf Express is continuing its ball abrasion sale. Get Titleist prior generation Pro V1 and Pro V1X golf balls for only $39.99 a dozen, or prior generation TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. Hurry, supplies are going faster than a downhill putt. Drop by the store in Pineville or log on greatergolfexpress.com. And don't forget, Greater Golf Express will give you a better club fitting for less. They have 9 fitting carts for all the major manufacturers. Lower your scores, get fitted. You need it? The golfer's paradise. Greater Golf Express has it. Located in Pineville next to Home Depot or greatergolfexpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.